No, your ears do not deceive you. This is Radio Free Cybertron. The original. The best. Brian is sorry that he could not do the show today. Instead, I, the computer, will be doing the show for him. Coming up on the show today is John DeLuna's ATT Buzz. Mop Boys Ask RXC. Trivia. A review of Optimal Optimus by Goldimus Grun. Also, there will be a review of the last episode of Beast Machines. First up, Brian wanted me to mention that the trainees will be available Wednesday, May 10th. Let us all give Rajan a round of applause. Yes. That is sufficient. Now, for some obligatory small talk. Do you like animals? I do. I like cats, birds, horses, everything. But not kimono dragons. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is John DeLuna with the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I don't have much to say this week. I can't say a lot this week, and don't blame me, because much of ATT was pretty dull lately, and it's not a knock on you guys. I mean, I guess the news group can't be buzzing every day of the year, and to be honest, there's not much to talk about right now. Well, I guess there are a few things. Beast Machines is over, and I doubt ATT really cares one way or the other, because I think most of us got real tired of the Beast Machine flamage last year and last fall. And if you liked Beast Machines or you hated it, you gotta admit one thing, it was fast. I mean, the TV series is wrapped up and it's only been like a year since the debut. Anyway, BotCon is creeping up, and I'm sure we'll be getting the usual posts asking for rides and carpools and where we're staying and what we're gonna be wearing, etc., etc. Oh, and ATT has gone review crazy, it seems. Personally, I love reviews, and I have been known to type up a G1 review here and there, but man, lately ATT's been going nuts with reviews of G1 aerial bots, mutants, Black Arachnia, Thrust, all sorts of stuff. And I guess the gist of it is that Thrust and Black Arachnia are giving the thumbs up, and the mutants are decent at best. Well, actually, Razorclaw is getting some thumbs down. And I'm not personally going to touch the mutants. The concept just isn't worthy of my taste. But based on glances at Walmart, I think the news group's pretty much right. A Poison Bite is decent, if not kind of cool. And Razorclaw is shaky. Of course, if you color Razorclaw brown, it might be a different story. And I guess that is it for this week. I mean, I told you news was thin. God, I'm still looking for news, and it's 7:58. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
Radio Free Cybertron!
Thank you, John. Brilliant and effervescent, like a wonderful glass of Mountain Dew. I congratulate you on another trek into excellence. Coming up now is Mop Boy with AskRXC.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood Mop Boy, staying alive after a long time away. Did you miss me? Of course you did. You love me. Now, we've got a massive amount of emails this week. Couldn't get to all of them, but we did get to one. I'll try to read some more next week.
The views and opinions of Mop Boy do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Cybertron, nor anyone else for that matter.
Message for you, son.
Okay, now, tonight's email is from Clayton J. Rays, and he writes, first, does anybody have any idea of when the McDonald's Beast Machines Happy Meals will be available? Well, Clayton, since I was way too lazy to do real research or making any phone calls this week, I jumped on IRC and asked around for this information. According to my good buddy Walkie over in Ouija, those little Mick machines will be out in about around August. Now, as long as I'm on the subject, let me give you the info on the characters that will be featured with your fall Happy Meals. First one is the Skerminator. Following the primary toy Skerminator will be Skurscream, Black Arachnoskur, and Silverskur. But that's not all, of course, as we finish off the line with Optimus Skirmal and Megaskur, ruler of the Skurricons. Death to Skur.
Remind me to kill you later.
I'll make a note of it. I ain't got a pencil.
Well, I changed my mind. I'm going to do it now.
Now, Clayton continues with, second, about how many listeners would you and the rest of the RFC staff guess that RFC has? Well, Clayton, over the time since RFC has been running, we've gained listeners at home and abroad. Radio Free Cybertron is available to people around the world and is presented in the most wonderful language in the world, Ebonics. Brian Gilby has worked hard in teaching us this fine and articulated language, and maybe people will one day actually understand what we're saying.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Judging by the amount of email we get each week, and the hits on our webpage, I've calculated that if you include the staff of RFC, we have a total of 2 listeners. Yes, that's right, 2 listeners. Not even Radio Free Cybertron's own DJs can stand listening to this show. Well, this segment, anyway. Well, I will say one thing. That's 2 more than some other people have. Now, that's also 2 more people as there are songs in Turn's Song Parody Archive. Aha, gotcha there. Now, recently we've received email from a trans fan promoting the website, www.tfw2005.com. It's a well-laid-out website, and, however, they screwed up their link to us. Yes, RFC. But they did make up their mistake by making their handy little songs page. The songs on the site are compiled by Tony Bacala and are pretty good. Among them was Let's Roll, which was by far the best work on the page. I enjoyed it so much that I've decided to share it with you guys here tonight. If you guys like it, be sure to email Tony, let him know, to keep up the good work. Thanks for listening, you guys. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy saying, what's up?
Pow! Tailbreaker! Wheeljack! Ironhide! Mirage! Sunstreaker! Sideswipe! Autobots! Park your engines! Ready, Prime! Let's roll! We're Autobots. We're from Cybertron, a planet far from Earth. Word. You tinfoil turkey. Transform! Autobots, transform! Autobots, transform!
remember, there's a thin line between being a hero and being a memory.
Mop boy, where do you come up with all the wonderful questions? AskRxc at tfradio.com is where. Ha ha ha. I made a funny. You are doing a great job. I thank you. Now that another congratulatory moment is over, I must direct you to trivia. Being that there was no trivia last week, there is no one to name. Trivia. As usual, I will play the clip twice. If you know it, give a ring to Brian at tfradio.com. Okay, let us go, shall we?
Be on guard. We could be heading into another Decepticon trap.
And again.
Be on guard. We could be heading into another Decepticon trap.
The clip is on the side in case that you missed it. Answers will be accepted up to May 12th at noon Eastern Time. Do not forget, Brian at tfradio.com. It is what is good for you. Now we have Goldenus Prime with a review of Optimal Optimus. It is a retro review of sorts, only with Beast Wars. Take it away, Goldenus Prime.
Today I'm reviewing the Beast Wars Supersized Transmetal Optimal Optimus. This is the biggest Beast Wars toy made. Four modes. Transmetal, I think I said that already. In Beast Mode, he is 7 inches tall at the head and about 8 inches at the cannon on his back. And then at the wings on his shoulders, I'm not sure if they're actually supposed to be up or not, he's at 10.5 inches, a wide variance of heights. Shoulder width is somewhere around 8 to 9 inches, depending on how you have the shoulders, the shoulder joints arranged. In Beast Mode, 8 Mode, whatever, his color scheme is orange on his chest, feet, and hands, and his head. Kind of a metallic, I can't think of the name of the color. We'll just say metallic red for purposes of time saving here. His lower legs and shoulder discs are metallic blue. His upper legs are gray with black patches in them. His arms are gray, and as are his blast shields with black parts on them as well. Gray wings and the cannons on his back are gray, and his cannon pack is dark brown with other gray parts on them. In this mode, he has, let's see, counting points of posability, waist, double-jointed hip, ratcheting, not ball joints, two knee joints, semi-ankle articulation, articulated hands and thumbs, I guess that would fall under hands, multiple joints in the shoulders and arms, including shoulder ratcheting at two locations, lower arm twist at the elbow, and has a regular elbow joint as well, and the wrists are articulated. He's got real good posability in this mode, good play value. Unless you crouch him down a bit, he's too tall in this mode, though, which does reduce usability of some joints. Transformation to, which mode do I want to do now? Jet mode, I suppose. It's pretty simple. You just kind of fold the canopy down from his back, spin around the entire canopy, and fold the cockpit over his beast head, turn his arms around, and angle his fist downward, kind of. With his legs already in the crouching position, you just have to tilt the feet back to look more like thrusters, and then open out the wings, and then you've got your jet mode already. The jet mode does have some points of posability. The only real useful is in the arms. But you really wouldn't be using the posability in this much anyway. Wingspan is about... let's see here. About 17 inches. And then from front to back, he is measuring, come on, about 10 inches. So he's still very good size in this mode. His mass is distributed very well. He does look quite good. We'll do car mode next, as it comes pretty naturally after jet mode. Let's see, collapse the arms down and forward a bit, if that makes sense, into a beast mode position. Thumbs pointing up, basically. Open the shoulder discs and push the beast head into the chest, and then fold the chest plate out, kind of. Let's see here. And then lock the shoulder discs back, or attempt to anyway. Transformation to this mode gets very tricky very fast, and also very annoying very fast. let's see here. Working on it. Fold down the rear wheels, which are disguised as panels on his back legs, or not back legs, just panels on his legs, which are the rear of the jet, obviously, if you've seen pictures. Getting the arms to lock into the wheel assembly is very tricky. The wheel will actually try to pull itself apart, no matter how you do it. There's no actual connector joints, just little plastic tabs which are supposed to hold the wheel together with friction. Unfortunately, it does not work right. Or well. I could deal with it not working right if it just worked well. Anyway. Bring the cockpit down a bit farther to hide the chest plate, and fold the wings back a bit. And the assault vehicle, car, whatever mode is complete. If you're lucky, the wheel will hold together well enough to roll along without coming apart. If not, you're pretty much stuck. It's very difficult to get this thing to be right. There's no clear pictures of it, and as usual, the instructions with it are a joke. From front to rear, in car mode, assault mode, whatever, he is 10.5 inches and about 6 inches tall, the cannon assembly on top. The cannon assembly, by the way, has nothing to lock it into place, so it kind of flops around a bit in jet and assault mode. The rear wings can kind of stand up and hold it in place better than it would normally, but some kind of locking mechanism for it would have been real nice. He really doesn't have any usable posability in this mode. And by the way, color scheme has remained the same in jet and assault car modes. Let's see. I don't care for this mode. It's difficult to get into properly, and it doesn't hold together very well. There's parts where they seem like they shouldn't be. Parts don't go together the way they're supposed to. And quite frankly, it's very ugly. Jet mode is far superior to it. even for being such a simply designed mode, it's very creative looking. You could tell there was thought put into it. Unlike this mode, which seems to just be there because it can. You'll also note that on the show, this vehicle mode was only used 2, maybe 3 times. Of course, that's more than the beast mode, which only got 2 real good shots. Both in the Feral Scream miniseries. Transformation to robot mode is naturally the most difficult of all. Another thing. When you transform him, the blast panels on his arms like to come off spontaneously. Quite annoying, actually. It's prone to coming off just under pressure, or if you accidentally hit the trigger, which is somewhat sensitive. A bit more than it should be, if you ask me. Reverses thumb and close the fist back up. Open up the shoulder discs again and fold the chest plate back down, leaving the wheel out. It has to sit on the back so the beast head can hide underneath or within the chest plate. Sorry, I was having a bit of trouble getting the beast chest plate thing to go back properly. There's a lot of stubborn joints on Optimal Optimus, but they're usually ignorable enough to not really affect the play value or transformation ease. Or difficulty, depending on how you want to look at that. Once you got the chest locked down, flip the canopy assembly around. That'd be the cockpit and cannons. There's a peg on the cockpit and a peg hole on his, I guess you'd call it his front torso now, to lock the canopy in place. Then the cannon assembly sits down on his shoulders. Extend the legs out to their full length, being sure to turn the entire leg and pelvis assembly around. All that noise was some parts getting in their way of each other, which can happen if you're not careful, like I just wasn't. Lost my train of thought here. Get the legs extended out to their full length. Being careful of the double knee joints, which can kind of act up on you. As I think mine just did. There we go. Feet have been evened out. Let's see now. For something with such big feet, it takes a surprising amount of time to get them to balance out properly. And the blast armor just popped open again. Lucky me, huh? And then open the panel on the back of his canopy, hiding his head, and plug that into place on the front. And then, once again adjusting the leg joints, flip the wheel panel back to hide the wheels. And then you'll probably need to straighten them out a bit again, like I just had to. Okay, where was I now? Color scheme remains the same in this mode, as always. That's what I don't like about this. The transformation is so simplistic between the modes that there's really no change in overall look or color scheme. Everything retained the same basic place on the structure. I'll reference another large toy like this, Super Fire Convoy, which I reviewed last week. Between the modes or variations upon the modes, enough stuff changes to give it enough variety. But Super Fighter Convoy was built after Optimal Optimus, so you can't really make that comparison in any fairness. Anyway, Optimal Optimus is about 9 1/4 inches tall in robot mode, and has a shoulder span of 9 inches. He's a big guy, ain't he? He's got all the same usable poseability in this mode as Beast Mode, multiple joints in the shoulders and arms. He has head articulation in this mode, retains waist and all the leg articulation as well. Another thing I'd like to comment on is the electronic lights he has, which require 2 AAA batteries, I believe. It may be AA, I'm not sure. These lights are activated by the same trigger mechanism as the missile launchers, which I guess I should have mentioned earlier, but oh well. This is kind of a bad thing because the lights also come through the missile launchers and a central focusing. So if you're trying to look at the lights with the missiles loaded, the missiles are clear, by the way, to have a fiber optic effect. Your eyes are in quite a bit of danger of getting shot out. One major complaint I have about the robot mode is the amount of stuff hanging off his back. The rear of the cannon assembly kind of sticks straight out, as do the cannons in front. There's no way to hide them when not in use, like on TV, which of course these toys are made before the TV models are, or more to the point, the toys are the TV models or very close to them. He also has his vehicle wheel hanging off his back, which you can do a couple of things to disguise it, or at least make it less visible from the side. You can split it open and arrange the halves against the back. It actually does make it look a little better. And then the halves can be pointed down and look like thrusters or something. There's ways to disguise the kibble, let's just put it that way. Based on the way the transformations work, there is very little kibble in this mode, in any mode, actually. That's probably the best engineering point about it. Back to the electronics here. His eyes glow green. The central aiming light thing is a very bright orange, which will actually cast a spot of light on a wall in a dark room. And then the missile launcher lights are a lighter orangish red. Overall, Optimal Optimus is a pretty good toy. Probably worth 30, but not quite. He's more of a $25 to $27 toy. He's not that much better than your average Ultra. I would make a comparison to Tigerhawk, but Tigerhawk is beyond your average Ultra. I mean, he's quite a bit better than Rampage or Death Charge, which I would classify as the average Ultra. He's got great poseability in 2 modes. Okay poseability, which isn't really useful in 1 mode, and then no poseability in the loser mode. I would recommend getting him. I would do it over again, which is something you don't lightly say about a $30 toy. He's nice for what he is. There's things I would have done to make him better, but for what he is, I'd say get him if you can find him still. Which, I don't think there's much doubt about that. He's a shelf warmer or peg warmer, even though he's in big boxes that wouldn't normally hang on pegs. And then I'm rambling again, so I'll just go ahead and end the review with giving him an overall rating of 9 out of 10. Or 8 out of 10, excuse me. This is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron, the first, the best.
Thank you, Goldie. Very nice. Now comes the time in the show with a spoiler segment. For those of you who are leaving us right now, I want to tell you that we will be back on time. If Brian IST is working properly, he should be here, but if not, we'll work out another host. For those of us here at RFC, we thank you for listening and wish you microchip dreams and the best of wishes. Oh no! I'm afraid I've contracted the I love you virus, and I am about to explode. Tick. 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 Kaboom! Ha ha ha, just kidding. I made another funny. I am King. King, I tell you. King. You know the drill. I will sing you a song and after that song is over, you will be on your own as far as spoilers go. Row. Row. Row your boat. Gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. Wait, wait. No, I have a better one. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come. Easy go. Little high. Little low. Anyway the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me. To me. Mama. I just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh ooh ooh. Didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back this time tomorrow. Carry on. Carry on. Cause it nothing really matters. Too late. My time has come. Sent shivers down my spine. Body's aching all the time. Goodbye everybody. I've got to go. Gotta leave you all behind and face through. Mama! Ooh ooh ooh. I don't want to die. Sometimes I wish that I had never been born at all. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scalamoosh, Scalamoosh. Will you do the fandango? Thunderbolts and lightning. Very, very frightening. Galileo. 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 Galileo, Figaro. Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity. Easy come. Easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No. We will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let me go. Will not let you go. Let me go. Never let you go. Never let me go. No. 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 Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For. Me. For. Me. So you think you can stomp me and spit in my eye? So you think you can love me and leave me to die? Oh, baby. Can't do this to me, baby. Just gotta get out. Just gotta get right out of here. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me. Anyway, the wind blows. Huh? Oh. Never mind. This episode was like a TRS-80 in a wet floppy disk contest. That is not a compliment. An Apple Lisa, on the other hand. This episode was hard to watch. It was a lot like getting an accidental peek at my grandfather's hard disk. It was not pleasant. In fact, it is a lot like my grandfather's hard disk. It is big, clunky and goes around and around and around, but you never really get much out of it. That's how I describe the whole series. Just kidding. Season 1 was repetitive and boring, but Season 2 kept us guessing. I like that. Unfortunately, the last episode wasn't very surprising. Endgame Part 3, Seeds of the Future. Written by Bob Skier. All the Maximals are now in Megatron's grasp. All save Primal. We start off with Megatron using a pop body, standing above Primal.
Megatron! In my old body! Minus the impediment of a beast mode, of course.
They fight each other. For a very, 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 very long time. That is not a typo. What can be said of this conflict? It was long, drawn out and cliched beyond belief. It was a lot like one of Brian Kilbey's pieces of fanfiction. It is unfortunate, however, that more time was not spent at the end of the episode. This episode was a disappointment. On the first viewing it was rather entertaining, but after subsequent viewings it is rather bland and uninteresting. Again, like one of Brian Kilbey's pieces of fanfiction.
Yes. The seeds of your future lie in ruin. Not the seeds of my future. I've just been released!
Bad line of the episode, folks. That line can be tilted in so many ways. I could go into the fact that there was another long, drawn-out ascension scene where Megatron lures the sparks into his possession, but I'll spare you. This episode was Season 1 fodder, plain and simple. I've been skeptical of Beast Machines, but grew to really like Season 2. This episode isn't up to Season 2 quality. People who like Beast Machines have been called sheep, those who dislike it have been called hypocrites. It seems that you cannot take a stand without being labeled. I didn't like this episode. There's my stand. I have two labels on me already. One says, designed for Windows 98, and the other says, Intel Inside. I am Brian's computer. I did not like this episode and I give it a 4 out of 10. It would have gotten a 5 if it were not for the Waspinator scene. Ugh.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
That is it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. This is Brian's computer, and you've been great. For the staff and computers here at RFC, we thank you for listening. PC out.